Now we can start. Tammy's here. No. I said we're starting late, so let's pray. That's right. Well, and here comes Wilma. No. Don't you hate being pointed out? Especially if you're trying to hide in the back someone else. In the military, you try to hide in the back, and oh, it's good to see Lieutenant Rademacher made it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this last Sunday in 2019. You've been so good to us, so faithful. Thank you for the Advent season, the birth of our Savior. Now, as we look forward to a new year serving you, 2020, bless our time now as we just share some things about your word that we appreciate, and be with folks. I know we have a lot of sick folks and folks probably still traveling. So bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, to prevent me so I don't have to talk too much, nobody said amen. I thought, amen! Amen! But we'll do Jonah next week. What I thought would be good, and especially it's going to work out, I think, well this Sunday with a lot of folks going to be gone. What is your favorite Bible verse? Why? And just, you know, share that. We can go around and share that with you. If you have a favorite verse that just has always meant something to you, you know, read it. You know, we can take a look at God's Word and then just share why that has special meaning to you. You know, just anything you want. If you have a favorite one. And I mean, if you have one memorized, you know, John 3:16, we could all have that as our favorite verse. But is that fair? And that way we can all just share and I don't have to talk too much. Anyone say? You always got to get one person to go first. Okay, Peg. You know, Philippians 4:13. Okay. I think it is. He's trouble. We can take that many ways. But off to around the world, yeah. Oh, goodness. I mean, have you seen my son? Very good. Yeah, well, it must be working because we appreciate you. We appreciate. I love it. And you know, Jim, isn't Jim unique? I love Jim. And, you know, I'm sorry, they're winter chickens now too. But, you know, with the organ and what that man, he gets more stuff for free, fixes it up. He has sold more grand pianos that he finds and sells. But this Allen organ is really a nice organ, and it's nice having someone like you to play it. And I haven't made the comment, but you don't even have a hunchback like Quasimodo that played. Didn't he play the organ or something in Notre Dame? So excellent. That's a great verse. George, yes, sir.
Gotta go seeking God.
Right. Yeah, in the Christian context, that is a very, very good. Very good. So, yes, ma'am. Trudy. You know, sort of related to what Peg said, just that where do we draw our strength and where is our trust and our confidence? I know if Scott Adams were here, one that I know he shares is, I think it's Psalm 20, verse 7, maybe some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust or remember the name of the Lord our God. So in an uncertain world, what can we rely on? And that's important for today because looking back over 2019, can you see areas where God has done those types of things? And, you know, just all our verses, his faithfulness. And then, of course, looking forward to 2020. So, very good. Yeah. Let's go, John. And you know, Jesus, the unique bond with his disciples, you know, we can all apply that to our lives, but some application might be a little more direct for, if you will, the apostles and men, women that go into full-time service and mission and ministry, because that's very important to me as well, that it's not who I am, it's what God is and what he has called, you know, you and me to do, because that's, you guys all know my story, that I was going to go be an airline pilot and earn, you know, $250,000 a year doing nothing. And I mean, that's a great job, and I'm glad we have good airline pilots, but God has a call on all our lives, and some is into full time, and the two of you together, he's not that big of a troublemaker. But how many decades of faithful service has this couple had serving God? So that's, yeah, very good. Tammy, yes, ma'am. Yeah. I was going to say, the correct answer is they're all good. But ah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, in Psalm 19, that is starts off with the importance of God's general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, a young preacher three, four weeks ago had a telescope sitting right up here, checking out that GPS, but God's creation. And I mean, that new appreciation of the awesome size of the universe that God has done in his creation. And then God's word, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect, and then finishes off, let the words of my mouth. And then, so, yeah, very good. In all of life, that's, in fact, that'll be part of the conclusion, looking forward. What is our purpose? All Christians, what is our purpose? Spoiler alert, it's to bring God glory. And so in every aspect, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, whether it's professional ministry, in the workplace, God's glory. So yeah, that's very good. And I can see that in you. I appreciate that about you. That's all. Yeah, Deb. Yeah. Go ahead and read the next verse, because you're stealing mine. But go ahead and read verse 10, too, because that's...
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
I like hers best so far.
Hmm.
That's not part of Proverbs 3. You just threw that in. Yeah. Very good. That's so, Bear Claw. Yeah. You know, and obviously part of my job, but what is the original meaning of that in that context, and what's the significance and then of application to that, but to young Joshua and taking over after after the death of their great leader, and how meaningful that is. And that's been a common theme in our world today. Imagine trying to do it apart from the strength of the Lord. All things, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, yeah, I don't have enough faith to live in this world apart from God. So that's very good. Others? Yeah, Connie. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right, and that's so that Jesus talking about the importance of faith. Yep, because that's part of the first, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and Mark adds strength. And the second is like it, but it's tied, it's an outflowing of the first. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to describe, and who's my neighbor? You know, which is, you know, we're exactly, and you know, like, well, yeah, I can be nice to people I like who are like me, but Jesus gives the parable, if you will, the story of the Good Samaritan, which, you know, that was talking about loving somebody that, goodness, not Samaritan, we hate those people. Sort of a little bit of Jonah, you know, Ninevites, they don't deserve that. So, yeah, that's very good. That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, you just stole what I had here. I've got several favorites. This is one.
No, you only get one. No. The more you talk, the less you have to listen to me.
This is one that Gerard did a study on. Basically, I'm just repeating what you just said. It's Luke 10, verse 27. He answered with a
Yep. That's, and that is known as the Great Commandment. You know, and that's the how did, why was he saying that? Well, because a lawyer, a scribe, a Pharisee, wanting to test him, you know, Jesus and the religious leaders, the uptight, arrogant church people, always didn't like what Jesus was doing. Well, what's the Great Commandment then? You can almost hear the sarcasm. And Jesus summarized all of our life, you know, vertical relationship first, our relationship, love God. And when we've got that, or the more we have that, the more we can do this. Because it's tough to love people. It's tough to love pastors. Amen. But that's, yeah, that's a, that shows up an awful lot. In fact, that'll be part of today's, you know, what's, want to summarize how we best glorify God. Well, the Great Commandment, and actually, and even Jonah, you know, the Great Commandment, did Jonah love those Ninevites? No. Did he really love God, or did he love God as long as it was on his terms and not God's terms? And then the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Well, Jonah's not going to do that, and that's tied to that, that verse. So, yeah, very good. Did you have another one? For now, okay. Others? Wilma, do you have, can you think of any, or Don, Kate, anyone? Well, somebody already stole mine, but actually Ephesians, all of God's word, obviously, and I think we all would say that, but the, in fact, I'll add a, read a little bit more. But Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And that, just, I love that, and right there summarizes, you know, sermons, when you hear Pastor Dieter's, you know, I got it from Jack Miller and others, but Pastor Dieter's 3 points of theology, sin is worse than we think it is. You know, talking about dead in our trespasses and sin, by nature, children of God. But grace is bigger than we think it is. God's marvelous grace, despite the fact that we are sinners, God extends his grace. And then this, I, Georgia helped me out to try to make it a little more, you know, sin is worse than we think it is. Grace is bigger than we think it is. Jesus is greater than. So I try to have a little parallelism, but the whole message of Hebrews, that then it's all about Jesus, not only what he did, but living our lives. We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus. And so sometime we'll get to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, where Jesus is compared or is greater than Moses, is greater than all the prophets, is greater than. And so that's adds a little more parallelism. So thank you, gorgeous wife. Jesus is greater than. Yeah, that she says, like, hey, that's pretty, she's a pretty smart lady. Well, that might be a blot. Yep, I'm a lucky man. Any others? Do you have another one or just? Yeah, Tammy.
So I
Well, I cheated too, so.
And this is one of these things that reminds me of my grandma.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
25.
Yep. Mm, very good. That one shows up at Mother's Day a lot. That's a lot of times the text, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Yep. George, we're not doing Jonah. We're doing favorite verse. So if you have a favorite verse, we've already stipulated that we like all of them. But if you have one that is especially meaningful, would you read it and just... You didn't even read that. You just pulled... Yeah, and why is that important to you? Very good. Any others? Wilma, yeah.
I don't have the verse, but where it says that if you pray to God, He will hear you when you
In John 14, 15, 16, but ask anything in my name. And yeah, isn't that a reassuring and an illustration I've heard is, you know, what a privilege to be able to pray to our Heavenly Father who will give anything, what? Anything. Oh, boy. If you ask in my name. And what does that mean? You know, so, oh, anything? Well, I want 3 Cadillacs then. Well, no, the rest of it, that is the in my name, is it for God's glory? And the idea of we have a blank check at the right bank, which is obviously not about us. But yeah, isn't that reassuring? And that's that same passage that, you know, in John 15, where Jesus, that intimate meal with the 12 and then 11, actually, by the time they're getting to that and the importance of that. So, yeah, that's reassuring in the power of prayer that sometimes we in the church, and I know I can be negligent about the importance of prayer. So, yeah, that's a good one. Anybody what?
I can't make gravy, so don't marry somebody who likes gravy.
That is practical wisdom. Did you? If you couldn't hear that, don't marry anyone who likes gravy because she can't make gravy. I like that. Oh. It worked. God gave you. Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, we can sometimes overdo that, but yet that the recognition of God, where if God knows the number of hairs on our head, sparrows, is He not more concerned about us, even in our daily lives, things like gravy, eating for His glory. How simple. See, and that's one of those, I think, mistakes where sometimes we don't give God, enough credit or glory or think, oh, I can't bother God with this. You don't think he knows, obviously. And so we sometimes don't trust him with the small things. And then also sometimes we don't think he can do the big things, which are both sort of forms of idolatry that we don't. So that's good. Yeah. And like Tammy said, what is it? If you can't make her invite somebody to the potluck that does. He knows how. No, good. Yeah, that's grace is bigger than we think it is. All our sin, past, present, nailed to the cross. And that is very important for in a lot of churches and some denominations, unfortunately, and pastors were good at guilt, not recognizing that, okay, yeah, you were dead, you were in bondage to sin. That's why God the Son came and died on the cross, the atonement. And so let's not cheapen the cross because all that is taken care of. And so when we hang on to that, it's as if we're saying, well, Jesus, I don't think you died for that. I still feel guilty for that. And guilt's one of those psychiatrists. Tom, haven't seen Tom for a while, but psychiatrists make a lot of money dealing with people that are feelings of guilt and other types of mental disorder that are tied to the idea that, you know, we're not worthy. Well, guess what? Cheer up, you're not. That's why Jesus died and we're in Christ. And so that is very freeing as well. For those of us, we all to some degree, have a past or that something in particular that's just another sin, but that we are, you know, very ashamed of maybe, and having been set free from that. So now you're not talking about getting rid of your husband, are you? And take a hammer to, no, okay. Charlie, what we're doing is, do you have a favorite Bible verse that you can think of that we're just, if you have a favorite Bible verse that, sharing that. Trudy. Well, that ties in application-wise that you can, you know, and with Isaiah and the message of Isaiah, which someday we'll get to Isaiah, but we may be in Isaiah still till Jesus comes, because Isaiah is one of those books that, wow, but spiritual warfare, the reality of spiritual warfare. And I'll share, this will come up in the message if no one talks in the message either, but did you see on the news spiritual warfare is the connection here in the news, the attack on the Jewish people in New York? This is the seventh day now, last night at sundown, the seventh day of Hanukkah, and just started with a machete, started attacking these Jewish people over at the rabbi's house for a, you know, Hanukkah celebration. And the news is just pearl clutching and wringing their hands. Why do they do this? Why, you know, where does this come from? And poor Georgia has to sit and watch me sitting on my chair. I'm raising my hand. They never call on me. Where does this come from? Pick me. And they have a Jewish assemblyman from New York who's a Jew. Then so they bring him on as the expert to try to explain this. And I'm like, You don't get it. The ultimate spiritual reality of course, Satan's hatred for the Jewish people, ultimately the Jewish Messiah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Okay, and so we can address the symptoms. We love to wring our hands about the symptoms, about, oh, that's just horrible. It's a hate crime. I don't even like that. No, it's a crime. Okay? Yes, but why we have to add it's a hate crime? Well, if you have a machete, it's a crime. And, you know, and so let's not try to make this somehow, you know, it's all crimes. But anti-Semitism, the roots of anti-Semitism is satanic, ultimately. And, you know, and if you're not going to, if you don't recognize the roots, you can slap Band-Aids on the symptoms, but you're not going to get to the root cause. And that happens way too often in our culture. You know, when it comes to terrorism, if you don't call it Muslim terrorism, you know, Islamist terrorism, as for, no, they're just poor, disaffected people. If you don't deal with the reality of the sin, you're not going to, you know, the world's not going to understand it. And they're going to wring their hands and navel gaze. And I, that's, yeah, yep, that's right, ISIS, beheading, the religion of peace, yes, beheading Christians. The one, actually, you, I thought of this, that it'll come up in the message on Mother's Day, the last year, it was Mom's Path. So we're going to sort of do a review of some of this, but what our moms taught us and the importance of even things like gravy are important. So that's good. So, yeah, Lauren.
One that we use probably more than any is the Lord's Prayer. Well, I find it very comforting whether I'm in the dentist chair, you know,
yeah, that's in the importance, obviously, going back to prayer and Jesus giving us a model prayer. Obviously, you know, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but then he's teaching. Why don't we say that together right now? How's it start? Our Father. See, I'm sick. I can't think. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That has all the elements. And then the next couple verses after that go back to forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then after that in Matthew 6, the idea of, for if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. Now, properly understood, that's pretty scary because we can get pretty insistent on our rights. And, I mean, the unforgivable sin is the sin against me because I'm so important. Well, when we understand how bad our sin is and what God has forgiven us, hopefully we're going to be a little more gracious with one another. And that's something we Christians don't get, we fall short of. But Christians ought to get that because, once again, you look at the world and yeah, that's we're all defending our rights and not our responsibilities to love our neighbor as ourselves, as someone said, as the great commandment. So, good one. Yeah, that's very good. And I'm glad we say that each Sunday. And you know, sometimes I give the disclaimer, but if we're just going through the motions, we're not going to do it. Okay, but if we think about it and the different elements, you know, our Father, we have a relationship in heaven. He's a holy, sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent God. So we give him his glory, but yet there's that tension of transcendence and immanence, the idea of God is with us and he's our heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. What a great way to start a prayer. Hallowed. Blessed be the day. Glorified your name. You know, that give God his due. Those of you that have been around for Jonah in Jonah chapter 2, that was part of what I tried to show when you see the text up there. Not a lot of God's glory. It was a lot about Jonah. And that, so there's an example of how not to pray. Let's start with the centrality of who God is. And then, yes, we have needs, and God, know, God is a loving father and, you know, and takes care of our needs. So that's good. Let me share, I'll share one more from that. This was actually in my high school yearbook, but Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I always liked like that, and of course going to be a Navy pilot. Mount up with wings like eagles. So, any others? Tammy?
Hmm?
Yeah, that's, and see, part of Hebrews, Jesus is better than the author. Some of our translations say the author and finisher. The idea, but though the author and pioneer, what God the Son did on our behalf, despising the humility, left his rightful glory in heaven and took the form of a servant, Philippians chapter 2, and you know, was the one that then, of course, the first fruits from the dead. And so the centrality, Jesus is greater than. So thanks, George. That was a good one. Anyone? Does this? Thank you for helping me out. I'm not talking too much and my throat sounds okay. Is this helpful? Yeah, and part, and this actually ties perfectly into the just the theme, looking back. And verses we've had that, you know, and I, you know, maybe some of us have family Bibles that have verses written in them that just, yeah, those are important. And that's, it's good to remember the past. And that's one thing I appreciate about this church family. We, you know, generally older. And so history, tradition, the good old days, properly understood. And that's important, not jettisoning the things that are good. And then being able to look back and seeing God's faithfulness in the past, which reassures me that his strength is there for me, looking forward to the future, which sometimes can be a little uncertain. So, all right, any last comments, questions, personal abuse? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and just it is precious to all of us, and in different ways, and just how you speak to us through your word. Thank you that you meet each of us right where we are and help us to apply your word to our lives so that we can better serve you and be drawn close to you and be like stethoscopes on your heart, being men and women after your heart, wanting to bring you honor and glory as we look forward to 2020. Once again, be with folks that are traveling, that are sick, that can't be here. But Lord, we just praise you and love you. Hallowed be your name. Amen. Well, thank you. Didn't start coughing. That's good.